Welcome back into the Red Zone Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here from the Wisconsin State Journal. And I am solo right now, but I won't be for very long. We will have Jim Polzine and Todd Molesky on this episode today to talk about the State Journal's very in-depth and important story on the meeting between Greg Gard and seven seniors from the men's basketball team last season. There's so much stuff happening in college sports and in Badger sports really right now with football recruiting heating up and all this other stuff. But we thought this story was big enough and had enough interest from you guys, the fans, to devote a whole show to it. So we're going to break it down, talking about some of our biggest takeaways, this idea of kind of an age generation gap going on between former Badger players, the current ones, the guys who just left, all that, Greg Gard's future with the program and what he's got to do in the wake of this report being out, and then kind of wrapping it all up with how this situation might impact Greg Gard with a new administration, Chris McIntosh taking over as the Badgers athletic director. So a whole ton of stuff to get into. We are glad to be back after a few weeks off. Thank you guys for putting up with that. And hopefully we won't have any sustained breaks for a while here. We'll get the show back rolling again. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with myself, Jim, and Todd. All right, guys, we are back with Jim and Todd. As we mentioned off the top, I'm going to give you guys a quick overview of that story. If you haven't gone to Madison.com, make sure you go check it out. Really got dives deep into everything that happened in that meeting and the context around it. But this occurred on February 19th. It was after a blowout loss against Iowa. The people in the room were the seven Badgers basketball seniors, the assistant coaches, and Greg Gard. And really the content of it, at least of the audio that was sent to the State Journal and specifically Jim, the seniors were kind of venting their frustrations and the issues that they've had with Gard. And if you listen to it all, which I encourage you guys to do on Madison.com, we've got the clips up there. You can hear a lot of these guys' thoughts. These are clearly issues that have been around for more than just the past season. They've been kind of some longstanding things. Some of the highlights are, you know, that the players didn't feel like they had been supported or that Greg Gard didn't really care about their future aspirations or them off the basketball court. They didn't feel like they had a relationship with Greg Gard. And the word that came up a couple of times, I think it was three or four by Jim's count, was disconnect, that the players kind of felt separated from the coaching staff or specifically Greg Gard, and that they just couldn't relate to him in that way. So, Jim, since it's your story, I'll start with you on this one. What was your biggest takeaway when you listened to this audio? And I want to shout Jim out for a Monday afternoon and evening, basically contacting everyone that was in that room and giving them chances to talk about what was said and what's going to be out there. And, you know, some took advantage of it, some didn't. That was their choice. But everybody that was in that room had a chance to get their side of it out and get to talk about it if they wanted to. So, Jim, as you got all that information, what was your biggest takeaway?
I'd follow your shout out with a quick shout out of my own. You guys, you know, I know my name's on this, you know, this story. You guys were a huge help Monday night. Colton jumped in and helped me with the transcription, which was the biggest challenge because there was 37 minutes. And for me to get through it as quickly as I could was difficult, especially since I thought other people had the story. I was not trying to rush it into print necessarily, but you know, I wanted to get it out well as fast as I could. Todd jumped in with some contract help on Greg Gard in that situation. So you guys were huge as you've always been. You took care of the follow story when Alvarez had a statement. Todd, you did stuff on audio yesterday. So this is really, really a team effort. And I really appreciate you guys for jumping in. My initial takeaway was, you know, I've been saying this for a couple of days now. I knew there was a meeting. Somebody had reached out to me back in March and said that there was a meeting. It got emotional. Greg Gard was crying and it was a lot about culture. And they said, you need to look into it. That was from an anonymous email. Very, very well could have been the same person that ended up reaching out to me again. So I did. I looked into it. I talked to people. Nobody would say anything. It just kind of hit this brick wall and I didn't get anywhere with it. And then this came out the other day and, you know, I first of all didn't want to click on the link because you're not supposed to click on suspicious links, right? And that was part of it. And finally, you know, once it got mentioned to me that 10 other media outlets were getting it as well, I clicked on it, started listening to it. And it's just like, wow, first of all, this, sometimes you hear recordings and the quality is not good. The quality was very good on this one. And then the more and more I listened to it, it was everybody. It wasn't just one senior. It was seven seniors. It was some of them multiple times. And some of the, to me, the thing that jumped out is how willing they were to express pointed criticism right at their head coach who was sitting in the room at the time. You know, some of it was just, they didn't hold back. And that was like, it was like, wow, I've listened to it three times now. I listened to it again yesterday. And it's like, that's still, I'm really taken aback by that. I know some people's reaction is, oh, this is nothing. This is normal locker room stuff, but I don't know. To me, this sounded very different than any locker room, you know, get things off our chest. This a lot of this stuff sounded personal.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. And Todd, I'll jump over to you with this too. The takeaway that I kind of had that goes with Jim is the openness and to me, like I said before, these are things that these guys have been feeling for a long time, and it seemed to. Obviously, with the struggles of the season, then when you're speaking about that specific day, they've come off two really tough losses that week. It did seem like, though, that the players were kind of just at a breaking point. They knew the season was coming to an end. They're not having success they wanted to. And then throw it on top of it, like, it's not fun to be in the locker room. It's not fun to be around each other, even as little as they were in COVID. What were some of your takeaways as you kind of poured through all this?
Well, to be real honest, my first takeaway was, like Jim said, that the quality of audio is really good, but man, we've got audio of this. Someone is taking a step, one, to record this when who would think of that if there wasn't something they thought was going to come out of it that was worth preserving or using to someone's benefit later on in the process? And then two, but like Jim mentioned as well, that and you, Colton, that they felt free enough to speak all this, which I think gets into a little bit of today's athlete. Like I think a lot of people think, people hold this in. It doesn't see the light of day. Maybe even sometimes within the locker room when there's not a recording device there, guys will hold this in themselves and maybe you get those kind of problems. These guys had no problem putting it right out there. And maybe they did before. Maybe it did just get to this point where they felt free enough to say this in front of their coach, in front of their coaching staff. But I think something had to happen. Like you said, there was a breaking point to get them to say this, or maybe they're just, you know, we talk a lot about cultures and what that means inside a locker room. Apparently there's a culture that you can say what you want. And I think that's actually probably you know, it's not a good point right now for the men's basketball program, but I think you can say that that's something that could be looked on in their favor in all of this, that, yeah, you can speak your mind here inside the locker room. And I don't think that helps right now in the situation that they're in, but I think that's an interesting thing to keep in mind too, that it does kind of speak to a new era of player, that there is this ability to say everything that we heard in that 37 minutes.
Can I jump in really quick? I think that's a good point, Todd. And other people have kind of, you know, said similar stuff, is that Greg Gard deserves a little bit of credit here for cultivating a situation, I guess, that people were willing to speak, and B, sitting there and taking it for 37 minutes. And you know, we didn't hear the part where he got to talk, but he did get to talk eventually. So I do think, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that he, you know, at least let them have their time and let them get it all out.
Yeah. And to both of those points, it does seem like that's something that's, and we're going to get into the difference in generations here, because that's a important element to all of this, as we've seen the reaction and, you know, people coming out, you know, talking about this story. But I think one of the things that's kind of clear throughout all of this is that these players wanted to be close with Greg Gard, or at least closer than they felt that they were last season. They wanted to have a relationship that was different than the one they had. And if, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you over the years are way closer to this program than either Todd or I, but it does seem like the players weren't having the same type of bond or communication level that they felt comfortable with Greg Gard as they were with, you know, Dean Oliver, the assistant, or Alondo Tucker last year, or Joe Krabanoff. And that came up in the audio a few times. You heard guys say, like, hey, if Coach Krabanoff does X, Y, or Z, he at least, you know, follows up with me and, you know, fix, or we talk about it afterwards. You yell at me talking to Gard, and we never, you know, move past it. It just happens and then it's gone. It does seem like I want to preface it too with saying, like, that is kind of common in sports. Your assistant coaches are usually the guys or women that, you know, are a little bit closer, or kind of mend some of those fences when the head coach has to be the tough one. But it does seem like, because I feel like basketball is such a smaller team than the majority of the teams that you see across sports, especially if you look at football or some of these other sports, them not having that relationship bothered them, and is clearly not how they wanted their senior seasons for this group particularly to go.
Yeah, there just seemed to be a little bit of, you know, the disconnect is the one that came up a lot, and I think that's part of it. They, you know, he'd be very critical of them at times. I think they were sensitive to how he was saying things and you know what he was saying. And then you're right, I don't think there was there's no makeup session. I was just texting with a buddy, and you know, we're both fathers, and being a coach, you can compare them somewhat. I know it's not the same thing, but I'm tough on my kids, right? I want the best for them. I try to push them, you know, toe the line without going overboard. However, they're going to know I love them, right? I hope they know where that toughness and criticism is coming from. And I don't think these guys realize that. I don't think there was that second part that, you know, they were hearing one thing, but there was a disconnect between, hey, you're doing this for us. Like, you know, I've got a column coming later. It's out now, but it's, you know, I don't know when this is running. Tomorrow morning, probably.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay, sorry. So this will be out Thursday morning. And, you know, Micah Potter's quoted in this saying, it doesn't seem like you're with us. And that's a problem, right? I mean, that is a huge problem if seniors especially are feeling you're not in it with us. I just, that's at that point of the season. I mean, it's February 19th. There are four regular season games left. I mean, if that's the feeling from Micah and possibly others, then that's a big deal to me.
I just want to jump in here and continuing off of Jim's idea on parenting. That's a different thing from parent to parent too, right? And it's a different thing from kid to kid. And you've got to find what works with your kid and their particular, you know, what they need. And I think that is on the parent, or in this case, on the coach, to find what buttons you push. Where are you more of a player's coach, quote unquote? Are you hard on them without, and maybe asking your assistant coaches to smooth things over in just being the friend kind of thing? There are all sorts of those examples out there. I mean, you can, no one thing works across the board. And I think when you're dealing with a program that, you know, you have transition every year, new people coming in every year, you only get to know people for 4 or 5 years beyond, you know, the recruiting aspect of it, but they're in your house for 4 or 5 years. You have to do that so much as a coach that you can't let that slip. And if you do for a year, you may lose guys, like I think maybe he lost this group of seniors toward the end of the season. I don't know what that point was, where there was, you know, a breakdown, but I think it's pretty obvious that it happened, at least from what the players see. Maybe Gard didn't see it that way. Maybe he saw it as he was giving them what they needed from his perspective, but it quite clearly was not being received that way from the players.
I think it happened. I think it dates back to last season already, right? I think some of the stuff Kobe King was saying, we're now finding out that other players felt that way, which, you know, and I kind of had that feeling that was the case. But what happened was Kobe left. They go on this 8-game winning streak, win the Big Ten, and everything seems hunky-dory, and it's easy to kind of, you know, forget that and say, oh, you know, it must have just been a Kobe thing. I think what we're finding out, it wasn't just a Kobe thing. What hurt, I think, a lot was no off season, right? These guys didn't come back here till late August. So the June, July bonding session, when maybe you could have carried over some of that momentum. Greg Gard clearly like took a step back last February and March and said, all right, you guys want to just play more freely. I'll stop micromanaging. That seems to be a case. And then the off season happens and it seems like he went back to the pre Kobe King, more of a hands-on approach. And these guys, for whatever reason, didn't appreciate it, didn't react to it. And I think it just kept festering. And then of course you lose games and it's going to get worse. Right. I mean, like they started out, they were number four in the nation at one point. They were fine until early January. And then, you know, the 40 point falling behind by 40 points at Michigan was kind of the first sign that, whoa, something's wrong. But it was like a roller coaster. You know, it was like a ball rolling downhill. It just kept going from there.
Well, it takes a lot to change as a coach, it takes a lot to change anything as a person. And so maybe to expect that to change in him over 1 year, maybe that's too much. He finds a group that he doesn't need to change for down the road. And the way that he prefers to coach is the way that works for them. I just think that the group that, you know, just happened to be in his room didn't take it the way that he would have liked them to.
It was a big group too, right? I think there's two things here. It was a big group, seven guys, which is a huge class, a huge senior class. And it was a connected group. And that's another thing I get into in my column is that sometimes you have teams fall apart because the players don't like each other, right? There's fractures between players. This, by all accounts, for everyone I talked to, was a united seven. These guys got along. And it became, Greg Gard would go after individual players. And these guys would, it's almost like these guys would get more offended by him saying stuff about their teammate than they would about him, about the only individual player. And so then you kind of form this alliance and it becomes a us against him thing. And I think that's a lot of what happened too here. So Todd, maybe you're right. Maybe the existing guys or this new crop of freshmen, talented freshmen and transfers, maybe Greg Gard can kind of go back to the way he was, but I think he's got to at least consider the fact that the athletes are different today, and he's got to really take a hard look in the mirror and say, do I need to adjust? What do I need to do to better relate to these guys?
And Jim, since you mentioned it with the athlete of today, that's something that since that story published, what was that? Yesterday morning, about 9:10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, the story on our site went up, and almost immediately I kind of saw this coming because guys were doing it during the season anyway, but calling this team soft, calling that group of seniors soft, and really it started this whole debate about today's athlete and, you know, are they just not as mentally tough or can they not handle criticism? And we, us three are around sports, you know, between pro and college for our jobs almost every day. We see multiple teams, all types of different styles. And I think we've all seen how not only players want more say in how the team runs or how things are going to look organizationally, but I think they just want more, I don't know if power or control is the right word, but they just kind of want more influence if it's their effort. And I think we're starting to see, I think it started mostly at the pro level and it's starting to come down to the college level even more. What did you guys think of the debate that kind of sparked up from guys like Sam Decker and Ben Brust who love this program and were, you know, here for as long as they were. And they got the kind of the wrath of Bo. Like they were guys that, especially in Decker's case, got probably harsher criticism and harsher talking to from Bo Ryan than these guys were getting from Greg Gard, just, you know, the personalities of those two men. But they definitely were a little bit more attacking of this group of players in the sense of, like, essentially man up was what the if you had to boil down what they said, like, deal with it, that's sports. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. Like, I think it's fair. I think, and I've been talking to a lot of people over the last couple of days. Today's athlete's different than it was 5 years ago, even, and finding the reasons why. I think you listed some of them. I think players have developed a more of a voice. I think the NIL stuff, you know, the kind of the light there that they're going to end up getting money, branding, personal branding, as opposed to being part of a team branding. I just think a lot has changed. And I think Sam, you know, I like Sam, I like Ben. I think they're entitled to their opinions, and I'm not necessarily saying they're wrong. The one thing I'll point out is that they have never played under Greg Gard, the head coach. They know Greg Gard, the assistant. They haven't played under Greg Gard, the head coach. And what I've gleaned in talking to people over the years who experienced both was that it's different, and it had to be different, right? Greg Gard couldn't be the assistant. He had to have his own voice. But I do think there's been some struggle on his part to find the right tone and find the right way of relating to players. And so that's where I think the Decker and Bruss things, while, you know, again, I respect their opinion, I don't know if they can come at it from the same place that these seniors did, and the Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig, Vito Browns of the world, those guys, Zach Showalter, you know, it's just, it's different. They experience one thing, and this is something completely different.
I find myself, like I usually am, caught in the middle between two like thoughts here. That one, if you've ever said, well, in my day, you've got to realize that it ain't your day anymore. I mean, that's just reality. This is not, I mean, you can't compare, like you're saying, you can't even compare 5 years ago. So much has changed. So much is changing that even 2-3 years down the road from now, it's not even going to look the same again. Today's the athlete of today is not going to be able to relate to the next class 4 years from now in a lot of ways, because their realities are going to be so much different. But I also do think that, you know, these players all chose to come here and play for a program like this, like Greg Gard has been going. And so some of it is on them too. They made that choice. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what this was going to be like. I don't know if there was any wool pulled over their eyes in terms of, you know, well, this is going to be different than it turned out to be. So it is some of a personal decision there that this is kind of what they signed up for. So yeah, I do get that, you know, well, face up to it. This is what you're here for.
Yeah. I don't think Greg Gard ever since he took over as head coach was ever hiding the fact that he coaches hard, or that's been a mantra of the Wisconsin program since Bo Ryan, or even you could go back to the Bennett family before that. I mean, that's always been something you could kind of expect out of Wisconsin. Like, they're going to push you in a different way than a lot of other programs might.
And yeah. And they don't hide stuff in recruiting. I mean, they say, hey, you come here, you're going to have to be a student athlete. You're gonna have to work hard. Right. I mean, with this, we're not going to hide that. They say, go spend time with our players and ask them questions. They don't hide their players from recruits. So if there's, you know, if there's honesty to be told, it's right there in front of them. So, you know, you're right. I agree with that, Todd. I think part of this is on the players. And I think you'd almost go 50-50 on a lot of these issues, like, you know, the criticism issue, our players being too soft today, probably a little bit of it. But once you recognize that as a coach, I think you need to adapt. And that's the challenge for Greg Gard, I think. I think it's one of many challenges that come from this, but that's a big one.
Yeah, I think, and Jim, you mentioned before, this started in 2019 when the Kobe King situation with him leaving and all the stuff that happened that time, from just gleaning stuff from that audio and things you've reported before. There was a big meeting that year too about, and it was kind of a clear the air, let's figure this out, and Gard changes ways then, to then not be able to recognize, like, hey, this group of seniors, and when you look at that team last year, those are the almost everybody who played outside of Davis and Wall. I mean, this group doesn't respond to that type of coaching, or at least respond as well as other groups in the past. You've got to adjust to that if you're doing your job as a coach. And I think that's, if you're going to say this is a failure of Gard, that would be where I would point to, is saying, like, you already have evidence that this team doesn't respond well to that type of kind of riding mentality. You've got to be able to turn that down. You got to be able to coach, I understand, but you've also got to be able to turn it down when you know that, hey, these guys don't respond to it in that way. That's part of coaching.
This comes up to something I was actually talking with Jim with earlier today, offline here, but you can recruit guys that you think fit into your system, into your culture, but you don't know until they are in your room and on the court with you, because you can get a scouting report. You can get what you think that player is like, but until they're there and until they try to mesh with everyone else in that room, it is impossible to predict. And so sometimes you're going to get it right. Sometimes you're not. And like you're saying, Colton, it's up to the coach, up to the coaching staff to adjust and to change based on that, because they've made that decision. This is the group that they've brought in, you know, unless it's a changing coaching staff, something like that, you come into a different group. I think that is a different situation. I don't think we're talking about that right now. This is a group that he's got to adjust to what he has because he brought it in.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you're right. You don't know till you get here. And now the thing is one season enough to learn that stuff? And then if things don't go well that first season, kids are already thinking about leaving, you know? So it just becomes a revolving door, and it's so easy to transfer now. The one-time transfer rule is going to make it so much easier to move. And, you know, it's tough. So you have to, as a coach, you have to decide, is this player a fit? And then even is 1 year enough to know that? And it's complicated. It's become, you know, I've got this piece coming tomorrow on guard and how he's trying to be a little bit too much like Bo Ryan, I think. And part of it is he can't be like Bo Ryan anymore because the players are different. And it's just, you can't, tough love might drive players out. And yet tough love, I think, is what this program needs to win consistently, because they're not always going to be the most talented. And there's got to be a fine line there. And the challenge for Greg Gard is finding that. I don't know. I don't know the answer exactly.
There's something else I want to mention here too, just before we move on, that we're talking about kids that come in here that they're 18. Between when you're 18 and when you're 21, how different were you? How different are you? And what prompts those kind of changes? When you're in college, a lot of it is just being on your own and figuring things out. And when you're part of a basketball, when you're part of an athletic team at a college, I mean, man, that change has to happen fast. And you've got to figure things out quickly. And that's why that's one of my concerns with the transfer rulings, that you're going to get freshmen come in at 18 and then they turn 19 and they think that something else is going to be better for them without seeing it through. And that one-time transfer, if it happens after the freshman year, I don't know that they're going to find what they're looking for, or what they're looking for, what they think they're looking for, is going to be the same thing that they're going to be looking for 2 or 3 years down the road. So just an aside there.
No, I'm totally with you. And one last thing just on this kind of this generation thing, especially with, as you mentioned, Jim, the comparisons are just natural because Greg Gard was here under Bo Ryan. One thing that I kind of wanted to, or just thought every time I saw a former player or somebody comparing it to Bo's era, it's like, just because Bo Ryan was a hard ass doesn't mean that was right either. Like, I'm sure Bo Ryan crossed the line every once in a while too. We just don't have audio of players confronting him about it. So, I mean, like, I always kind of push back on those, because it's like, just because Bo Ryan did it and he was successful doesn't mean that's the gospel and that's how every coach should handle it.
Yeah, and he won, right? So when you're winning, some of that stuff just, it's easy to keep behind closed doors. So I think you're right, Colton. I mean, I do think players have changed, and certainly, you know, it's times have changed and what's acceptable now. I mean, mental health has changed, right? I think that's one of the biggest things, is that there are mental health struggles, and we've become more aware, and it's become easier now to admit it, right? I think players are more comfortable admitting they have an issue. Before, you kind of held it all in, I think. Now you're more willing to talk about it because there's more people that are experiencing the same thing you are. And coaches need to be aware of that too. Like, some of the stuff you say to kids, players, you just got to be careful with what you say, because you have no idea what they're going through. You bring them here to have an education and work hard in the classroom. They're going to have friends, girlfriends off the court. Basketball is only part of their experience here. You know, I know you want to get the most out of them, but you really need to be careful in what you say to them.
you know, we're not too far removed from an era where, you know, the Bobby Knight style of coaching, where you grab a player by the jersey right on the sidelines in front of 18,000 people, was, yeah, that's not what happens, right? And there are a lot of you listening out there that probably still think, yeah, that's a fine way of doing it. That's perfectly acceptable. But I think you've got to recognize that that has changed pretty quickly. That line of thinking has pretty much gone away in terms of what's acceptable in front of everyone. I mean, not to say that it doesn't happen, you know, behind closed doors probably, but that's just the example of what's changed so quickly. Maybe not so quickly, but, you know, evolved over the last 20 years.
Sure. And when you talk about changes, and I think not surprisingly, when the story published on Tuesday, a lot of people were questioning, how does Greg Gard get through this? And then we see Tuesday afternoon, Barry Alvarez, Chris McIntosh come out in support of him, saying, you know, that they have, or the Gard and his staff have the administration's full support, and, you know, kind of just kind of turn the focus to the 2021-2022 season. The thing that I found a little interesting was the focus of their statement seemed to be a little bit more on the recording of the meeting and the sharing of the meeting, which is problematic in its own way. And we'll get into that maybe a little later, but that seemed to be their focus as opposed to the content of said recording. But Jim, I'll start with you on this. I think it's pretty clear Greg Gard is the men's basketball coach when we get to this fall and winter. I mean, does that surprise you? Did you think, as you're listening to this audio and then going through it, that this could be something that ends up ending his tenure here?
I didn't think that. I didn't think there was a fireable offense here. I mean, you know, it's not physical abuse. I don't know that there's any evidence of emotional abuse or anything like that. I mean, this was clearly a guy that needs to change, I think, in part because he's not relating to his players. They're not playing hard for him, and that's just not going to work. You're not going to win games, which ultimately might be what costs him his job. I think this is one thing for Chris McIntosh to consider when he evaluates the situation again after next season, during next season, whenever. I think they could really struggle next year, and I don't know that that's even enough to get him fired. I think if you see improvement, it's going to be a young team. If you see this team improve and this program is trending upward come next March or April, then I think he can survive this. If it's a total, if the program goes the other way and you continue to hear more and more voices within the program express unhappiness, then I think you have a problem. What I really like here, you know, what I'd really like to know more here is how seriously they're taking exit interviews, because I talked to a couple of players who said, you know, we did express some stuff that we expressed in this meeting, even after this meeting happened. And so that stuff goes through an administrator, and then, you know, it goes up the line. And what happened is Greg Gard got extended, right? He got a year extension. So if there were red flags, it certainly wasn't enough to say, well, hold on, we're going to not give him that 1 year extension. But, you know, I would like to know more about that process, I think. And I'd like to know if that process is being followed well.
Yeah, that's a key part of it. And I was just thinking when you were talking about that, how the, you know, the what we call routine 1 year extension just seems like such a formality now. I mean, I was keeping count. I don't have it in front of me, but I think there's only been, you know, a handful of non-renewals or whatever the terminology is over the last decade for across, you know, I think 18 head coaches of Badger sports. And so it's something that, you know, I don't even necessarily consider that, you know, if you talk about, yeah, he was extended by a year. Yeah, they always are. So I don't know how much that's actually something that's worth bringing into it. It's only news when, you know, somebody doesn't get extended, and then you're starting to think, well, okay, we're starting to pave the path towards that person not being here anymore, especially if it happens, you know, a couple of years out of, you know, 2 years out of three or 2 years out of five, something like that. So yeah, that's part that I think is worth mentioning too.
That's a good point, because unless you're completely sure that this is, it's not the answer, you extend them, because if you don't, then it sends a message in recruiting that we're not right. behind this guy. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a good point, Doug.
And guard's going to have to answer. I mean, how many years is he going to have to answer for this, what's come out on this recording? I mean, that's, I mean, every, I would think every family, every recruit is going to have questions about this. So he better have some answers ready.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
Really quick. I mean, do you think UW needs to talk to existing players, the underclassmen, the guys that weren't in that room, independent, not independent because it's a UW, but I mean, do they need to talk to just to see if there's a bigger problem here? I mean, do you think that's something they should be exploring?
I think that they probably should have had their finger on that already if they didn't. I mean, that's the job of, you know, administrators to, you know, you have coaches and then you have the step up, the people that kind of watch the coaches, right? It's their responsibility to make sure that, you know, not that everyone's happy, because not everyone's going to be happy in a program like this, but to make sure that everyone's heard and that, you know, kind of, if there are concerns that are legitimate that come up from multiple people over multiple years, that's something that has to be addressed, whether it's, you know, the extreme is getting rid of the coach. Lesser than that is, you know, implementing something, you know, a training or kind of to mitigate the, you know, what's going on, whether it's, you know, some kind of lessons or some kind of, you know, just, we've noticed this, we need to, you know, find a way out of it and to have you grow from it as a coach.
And Jim, you explore this really well in your column. Make sure you guys go on Madison.com and check it out. But Todd, I just want to ask you about it. I don't know, because I know you read the column as well, but there's this 3-4 year-ish kind of, I don't know if dwindling is the right word, but I think Jim put it well in his story. There are cracks in the foundation of the culture in Badger basketball right now. And I think you look at this situation, Kobe King thing, everything that's been going on. What do you think the biggest step is for guard in the next, you know, if it's over the summer or going into next season, to at least show that he's making steps to repair those things, or at least maybe reestablish some different things if that's how he feels he needs to go?
Yeah, well, he can't hide. He can't right. not address what's out there, because, you know, the silence, if there's silence here, it's, you know, kind of an admission that, yeah, we've got a problem. And then what are you going to do about it? I think he's got to come out and say, yeah, we've if this is what he feels, you know, you can't put words into his mouth, but if we've fallen short, here's what we're going to do about it. This is what we have to change. Here's how we're going to do it. He has to say that to recruits. He has to say that to current players. He probably has to say that to alumni. I mean, you know, there were complaints about, you know, that these on the recordings that we don't see these former players around. And, you know, whereas, you know, at Ohio State, Micah Potter is saying, you know, guys would come back to, you know, because they felt like they were part of the program. If that's not the case, that doesn't, you know, give a picture of health for your program either, that you don't have former players coming back and feeling like they're still part of the program. Because I mean, that's part of the college experience. That's where some of the difference between college and pro, you move on, you're part of a different team, whatever, maybe you still are part of the community, but college is so built on that. Here's, you know, they put up their jerseys in the Kohl Center for a reason, because they want to build on that and feel like they're still part of the group that they have today, even if they haven't been here for 20 years.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up there. We're bumping up on time here. But Jim, Todd, thank you guys so much for jumping on and diving into this. And as we mentioned throughout it here, if you guys haven't read these stories, go on Madison.com and check them out. Great job, Jim. Great job, Todd. We will talk to you guys soon.